And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 262. It's a Bloom Boards Tuesday coming your way, talking NFBC Fab Trends, new board. Looking forward to chatting this up. We'll talk some news and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on the Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. Hopefully this concept kind of works for everybody. We're just kind of sitting around. It's funny. I was telling you earlier, like, it's the first time this year where I'm on a Tuesday. I'm like, what are we going to do for Bloom Boards tonight that we haven't like done already? Because we do every Tuesday is Bloom Boards. It's like we're at that point in the season. So came up with this fab year in review, even though we're not, you know, it's only July 22nd kind of concept, looking at every week, every bid in main events and online championships, 15 and 12 team merch in the NFBC, and thought I'd come up with at least the start of something cool. There's a lot more I can do with it. So we'll see how it goes. I am well otherwise, except I'm potentially watching Andres Munoz blow a save to the seemingly unbeatable Milwaukee Brewers right now. But outside of that, doing pretty well, man. How are you doing?
Doing well. Tired, but we're doing well.
Of course we are.
It's been a schedule. lately, but it's going.
Past my bedtime. I'm either in bed by 9 or doing this show with you.
I feel flattered in that regard. Yeah. But yes, no, we're good. We're cruising. It's going to be August here before you know it. And like Ben said it out loud on the show on Monday that we're 2/3 through the season, basically. And I'm like, wow, that feels crazy, because it feels like we were just previewing positions for the drafts that we'll be having a new draft shortly, by the way, which we'll get our minds churning in a different direction. But yeah, we're good. We're good. It's another Tuesday night. We've got some baseball on. We're going to talk about a new board that we talked about. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we can come up with on that.
What's up, Kevin? What's up, chat? Always have the, you know, even though it is August, the chat's still, or July, chat's still going strong, which we like.
Yep, it is for sure. We didn't put it on the outline, but I'll make this super quick and simple. FPAS is around the corner. More importantly, if you want to golf, hit up Brian or myself. We got some tee times at Dobson Ranch for that Thursday morning. So just a quick shout out for that.
4th annual Bubba in the Bloom Invitational, yes, is happening on Thursday, November 6th. So hit us up if you are listening and in the Phoenix area or going to First Pitch Arizona. And just real quick for FPAS, if you're thinking of going to First Pitch, the first price deadline for registration is this Friday, July 25th. The price goes up, I think, $50 after that. So like if you're just planning on going and you haven't signed up yet, go over to Baseball HQ and get signed up before the price increase hits. And we will see you out there. We've already got a couple first timers that have chimed in from the Discord that are heading out to First Pitch. So that's going to be awesome to meet new people out there.
Yeah, like we have the golf tournament, but we're also trying to figure out another thing to do for people that don't golf that weekend. So I'm just going to throw that in the old hopper there, that if you are interested, if you do like the show, you want to support the show, come on over there. We might have a little other activity to partake in over the week, and we're going to try to figure something out on that regard as well. All right, a little bit of recent news before we get into the Bloom board, the A's double whammy of injuries here. Denzel Clark goes to the IL with a grade 2 adductor strain. He was starting to swing it pretty good, at least better. I guess it couldn't get a whole lot worse for Denzel Clark, but he was swinging it better. Now he's going to be down and out for 2 to 4 weeks, maybe longer. Grade 2 seems like at least 4 weeks to me, but they're saying 2 to 4 weeks. We'll have to wait and see. The Law Dog is in center, and they called up a couple outfielders, Ryan. So what are your thoughts on this situation?
Yeah, the Law Dog switches over to center field. And right field, we've got double duty, double call-up, double barrel. I don't know what the right term is, but Colby Thomas and Carlos Cortez. So in times like these, both you and I head over to the minor league leaderboard that's available to our Patreon subs, and we update every day. Let's see. Let's see what the playing time shakes out. Colby Thomas got the start on Tuesday, starting in right field, hit 8th. Doesn't have if you scout the stat line, doesn't have the numbers that Cortez has. Colby Thomas is a 27% strikeout rate with like a 10% barrel. So decent power. I very much worry about a high 20 strikeout rate in AAA and how that translates over. So for now, it looks like Colby Thomas, but I'm guessing it's going to be mix and match. We'll cover it more on Thursday. But this Cortez kid that you're writing up for Baseball HQ and you're playing time tomorrow, he looks pretty interesting. I don't know much about Carlos Cortez, but some good numbers this year.
Yeah, because everyone's going to want Colby Thomas, and I get it, because he's a powerhouse, was having a bunch of success. But you mentioned that swing and miss. Cortez is interesting because he's also 28, so he's a little older for the minor league position. It'll be his MLB debut, but he's 17 homers, 77 RBIs, only two steals, hitting .322 at AAA this year. If you use the leaderboard, 5.7% barrels, not great, but a 105 EV90. Like, he hits the ball hard, which is a plus. Yep. You like to see that for sure. What really stood out to me, though, because you mentioned Thomas's high 20 strikeout rate, Cortez strikes out this year 14.6% of the time while walking 13.1%. And that's a massive improvement over previous seasons. He's been over 20% pretty much every year. Nothing crazy outside of maybe 2022. He's been low 20s the last couple seasons. But he's coming over from the Mets system. He's new to the A's system this year. And so far, over 71 games, looks pretty solid. He's shown power throughout the entire minors, never been a speed guy. But that plate discipline increase has also resulted in a massive batting average increase. And I'm really curious to see how that plays out. But to your very first point, playing time's the key. Because on Monday, before they called up Colby Thomas and Cortez, Miguel Andujar was playing right field and Max Muncy was playing third. That's not happening anymore. We'll get to that in a minute. So Miguel Andujar will slide back into third with Gio Urshela. So it'll be a Colby Thomas, Cortez. I guess the bright spot, the one last thing I'll say, is they're giving the two kids a chance, because earlier this year they called up J.J. Bleday in a situation like this, who hasn't got it done at the big league level this year, but is actually swinging it very well at AAA in a small sample. But yeah, I'm curious to see how it plays out for sure.
And you've got, if you're the A's, I mean, you're in last place, you're 20 games below 500, you're potentially dealing Mason Miller. There are rumors of that circling around. You got to give some of these kids a shot, especially like a Thomas, certainly Carlos Cortez. Like, this isn't someone you're going to hold for rookie eligibility for next year. He's going to like win rookie of the year. And I think even Colby Thomas falls in that mold too. So you want to get these guys their reps while you can. I think as fantasy leaguers, we should at least be interested in 15 teamers. I don't know about 12s yet, but let's see how they look in this first week.
Yeah, definitely see how they look and go from there, because I mentioned the Max Muncy thing is not going to be happening anymore. Max Muncy got hit in the hand / wrist on Monday night, left the game. Gio Urshela went in to play third base. Max Muncy has a fracture in his hand, so he's going to be out for probably a month, if not longer, in that situation, which is kind of a bummer because they were like letting him play. Andujar was being more of a platoon guy, which he should be. Hits for average, but no power. So now they're back down to between Andujar, Urshela, maybe Luis Urias at third. It's a little murky there.
I mean, Andujar at least is a good batting average guy, like at home when they have, you know, when Sacramento, one of these years, I'll get it right, has some of those nights. Like, someone with a good batting average like Andujar, I think, is useful, certainly in 15 teamers and third base outfield eligibility work. So I think Miguel Andujar, fab wise, is mildly interesting to me as someone with a decent floor, not the highest ceiling, but I think the playing time going to be there. The Max Muncy thing, it's just like rinse and repeat. Ben Tidd put this in the Discord earlier today. There's a news blurb. Monday, July 21st, Max Muncy avoids serious injury. Tuesday, July 22nd, Max Muncy moves to injured list. Hand is broken. Like, here we go. So not great for Max Muncy. I think he's a drop at this point, if you even still have him. And I think it will probably be Luis Urias at second base, which you're not really interested in fantasy wise either.
Yep, agreed. It's more of a 15 team at best situation.
Very best
for most of those guys. It's a bummer, but to your point, they need to call these young kids up. They have some other young kids down there, like Harris and company. It's about like they need to start seeing what these guys got is what they need to do here for the last couple months of the season. Isak Paredes left a game over the weekend with a hamstring injury. Looked horrible. Reports did not sound great on Sunday. This took place, by the way. Some people already dropped him. Some people are waiting for the news. The news say they still haven't given us the grade of the injury because it's the Astros, and they probably don't know how to read a chart. So they got that going for them. But they're saying it's very serious. Let's put it that way. And it sounds like it's at least a month for Isak Paredes. So I guess it's a two-parter. Are you holding Isak Paredes? And secondly, this is going to just melt your ears. Mauricio Dubon's been playing third base the first 2 days, which I laughed about when I saw yesterday's. He's in there again today. They called Shea Whitcomb back up. They still won't play him. I do not understand it for the life of me. Bryce Matthews, double-donged on Monday, homered on Tuesday. He's playing second. Zach Short is playing short. Like, I'd rather have Dubon play short and Whitcomb play third. Like, what are we doing here right now? But I digress. Thoughts on this?
Yeah, you do digress. I mean, I for as much as we belabor the Astros injury team, they do. I feel like they do know what they're doing on the field. So and Dubon, I don't know, better real life guy than fantasy guy. I'm okay with him playing most days. I think it doesn't directly affect Bryce Matthews, but Bryce Matthews just hit his third home run tonight. I just think one less infielder in that entire deal is a good thing. I don't think, I mean, unless Shea Whitcomb plays.
Yeah, you can't pick him up.
So, to your question about Isak, it's someone you'd love to hold. Like, hell of a season for Isak Paredes, but I think in all realistic sense, in non-IL leagues, you're probably dropping Isak Paredes. Like, yep. If it's a month, that's almost half the season. And that, again, you can insert Astros medical team joke here. Like, how do we even know when it's going to be? So does not sound good. Does not seem like it's going to be a minimum IL thing. And I think much more than a minimum IL stint at this point, you really need to start looking at dropping these guys. So unfortunately, I think Paredes, you have to move on from.
Yep, totally agree on that one. It's a shame. One last thing on Dubon. It made me laugh when I was looking into him for PT tomorrow. He's played every position but first catcher and pitcher this year.
Yeah,
he is their Swiss Army knife. Like, he's played all three outfield positions, second, short, and third. It's pretty impressive what he's actually, but that's why he's a really good real life player. Fantasy, tricky as heck. And he
played 20 games at first last year, so he's eligible. Like,
he's eligible. Yes, he has not everywhere. Done it yet this year because they have Christian Walker. But yes. Yeah. But it's all the other thing at last. I guess one more thing, Isak Paredes. I don't know if you saw this already. Do you know how many guys they have on the IL currently now?
No, I do not.
Isak makes currently their 17th player on the IL. 17th. Wow. It's almost a starting roster.
Wow.
I saw that get tweeted out today. Yeah.
Isak, Alvarez, Brendan Rodgers, Pena, Guillerme, your my guy, DeZenzo, Pedro Leon, Melton, Jake Myers, Eric Geddy, Blanco, JP France, Luis Garcia. Good God. McCullers just went on today. So
yep. He made 17. Sorry. He made the
17. Oh, he made 17. Okay.
Yeah.
He made 17. Wesneski, Christian Javier. Good Lord. And yet the Astros,
they're contending.
I think are not even contending. They're 5 games up on the Mariners in the AL West.
See, Burks, 17 guys in the first place. It's crazy. Yep. It is. And they have pitching reinforcements coming. All those guys are like two to three rehab starts away from rejoining the crew, which will make things
four and a half games up on the Mariners now. Munoz just closed it out, so there we go.
Tampa Bay Rays, Brandon Lau back to the IL with plantar fasciitis. It's been bugging him throughout the season. He's been playing through it, but it finally got bad enough to throw him on the IL after he just came back from a different injury on the IL, because this is the Brandon Lowe story we get, folks. Brandon Lau, sorry. Today, Jose Caballero on Tuesday played second base. Taylor Walls played it on Monday. Tampa Bay Rays, baby.
I was just lamenting how I was proud of Tampa for not playing Taylor Walls, and fortunately now he's back in our lives. I guess I get it. I mean, the glove is really good up the middle. From a fantasy aspect, you'd love to see Jose Caballero play every day, and maybe he does get the majority of right-handed pitching starts, but I think this is something like Ray's going to Ray, and we'll just have to suffer through it. What's your take on Brandon Lau as a drop? You threw it to me for Paredes. I thought that was pretty easy. What's your feel on that?
Well, I'd hold for now because early reports are they think it's the minimal stay. If it's the minimal stay, I'm still in. If there's any type of setback, you can bounce. But he has played really well this season, so I'd try to hold a little longer if you can. But it is getting close to crunch time, to your point.
I mean, if you recall from our midseason kind of player rater versus ADP, Brandon Lau was the number one second baseman in fantasy entering the All-Star break. So I like that. I get that. Yep.
Wait for a quasi, setback. Because he's been healthy this year. It's been weird. Really weird with him.
I know.
Well, I guess maybe we kind of know why Tanner Scott's leading the league in blown saves this season. Because now Tanner Scott heads to the IL with elbow inflammation. And Dr. Reattach is assessing the MRI. And they're hoping for the results on Wednesday on that situation. Could be a minor thing. You get the Shelby Miller treatment and ramp back up. And even ramping back up, Ryan. What, mid to late August, hopefully. Where are you at on this one?
We come up with a lot of bad nicknames on this show, but I feel like Reattach.
It kind of writes itself.
It's just so good, I think. Yeah. I haven't seen anyone else say that. It's right there. It's low-hanging fruit. So never want your pitcher to see Reattach. I feel like you have some feelings. I feel like we disagree on the bullpen moving forward. I'm staying away from
Probably the right answer.
It's probably the right answer. You seem to be very keen on Blake Treinen, who's still on the IL, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll be back this weekend. He's supposed to be back this weekend.
You think he just vaults up and gets maybe half the saves?
Well, I figured he'd already get half the saves with Scott because he was already kind of doing that before he went on the IL. That was my thought. What's their other option? Go Vesia. He's been okay, I guess. Kirby Yates sucks. Kopech has a bum knees on the IL. I just don't know who else they go to. Unless they trade for someone. They could trade. Like, that's the obvious answer. They'll get Kenley Jansen from across town.
Kenley reunion.
Yeah. That'd be sweet.
Yep. I don't know. Yeah, who do they turn to? But there's also, like, I could also flip that around and say there's, like, six different guys they could turn to based on matchups and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it could be Ben Kasparius for all. I mean, who the hell
don't hate that. Emmett Sheehan. Like, I could see a lot of these types of scenarios with these
guys. Because they are. I mean, the Dodgers are getting, like, Glasnow's back with Blake Snell's coming back. I think pitcher rehab on Sunday. The pitch.
We can cancel Kasparius, as Mitch in the chat says. You left tonight's game. So.
Oh, God. Kasparius left the game tonight.
There goes that one. Trident's moving up the leaderboard.
Insert that. I think it was Billy Madison. Cross off the name on the wall. Yeah. GIF.
Yeah. Glad I made up to that guy.
Was that Billy Madison or was that another Sandler one?
That was Billy Madison. Yeah.
I get them all. Happy Gilmore 2 coming out on Friday, by the way, my friend.
Ooh, I'm nervous. Nervous.
It looks so bad.
Yeah. It looks like a cash grab, like every other cash grab possible. I'm so nervous.
They're recycling like all the same. Like, I'm going to watch it. Trust me.
Oh,
like,
I'll watch it Friday night.
Out of it. Yeah. I may need to be in a chemically induced state to watch that, though.
Yes.
It looks bad.
It does. It looks like the worst cash grab ever, but we'll see where it goes. Because the original was GOAT standard. He had a stretch of like
the line.
He had a stretch like Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Like, he has had like three or four like just amazing movies.
Wedding Singer was epic.
I'm a Big Daddy fan.
Big Daddy.
I can recite half this thing. Like, I'm a Styx fan and everyone makes fun of me for that. But I love like the kid goes, you know, in the courtroom. Styx is one of the greatest rock bands ever, but critics are cynical assholes. Like, I thought it's the best line. I tell my friends that a million times a year, but no one cares. Look at the rabbit hole we just went down. Yes, so that comes out Friday, to your point. Circling back to the first thing you said, never trust Dave Roberts. I've preached that on this show how many times? Like, just don't ever trust Dave Roberts with anything. So, yeah, probably stay away, to your point. But people need saves right now. We saw how much some people went for this past week. So
that's the thing. And the Dodgers are going to give you saves. And we said this preseason when it was the whole Tanner Scott versus Kirby Yates debate. Like, even if you get 40 to 50%, Waterboy, nice shout out by your guy in the chat Waterboy's there.
A great one.
Even if you get 40, 50% of the saves, if that is somebody on the Dodgers, that is something worth targeting. It's just you're going to pull your hair out trying to figure out who it is and timing it, but could very well be trying to. Who knows?
And the Guilds with a great tweet when Scott got hurt. He said, everyone's going to blow their fab on Treinen, and then on Monday they're going to trade for Bednar or somebody else. It's like it will happen. Yeah. Just be prepared for that too. That's take place as well. Last bit of news you kind of hinted at earlier. Lance McCullers to the IL with a blister injury. It's been bugging him for a little while, so they decided to sit him down to let it heal. He's also a bit bad, Ryan. So, like, I've been kind of speculating on what they're going to do with that rotation, especially with some pieces coming back. And I'm like, they can't really get rid of McCullers, but they need to.
Because they have other options.
They have younger kids they can send down type thing.
Exactly. They can. I mean, in the short term, they can move Gusto back. I mean, we'll see what happens. And then you've got Christian Javier coming back, maybe Luis Garcia. So you've got reinforcements coming. Arrighetti, that's the obvious one. So it's kind of a wait and see with the Astros rotation. But whoever they do have in their rotation, I am interested in.
Yes, yes. And hopefully they're not IL victim number 18 when that comes around.
Probably will be.
Yes, probably will be. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to this Bloom board action, Fab action. We have a lot of boards to get cracking through. So I'll let you tee the first one up and let everybody know what we got cooking.
All right, so the general deal with this was earlier today. I downloaded basically every Fab bid and on the NFBC all season. It's grouped by week. In the main event, which is a 15-team league, it's like a $1,700 entry, so a lot of skin in the game, a lot of these Fab bids. These leagues are extremely competitive. And then you've got your online championship, NFBC, which is your 12-teamer. So we'll go at this a little bit at like a 12 versus 15-team aspect as well. But what I wanted to do, and there's a couple ways, I mean there's a million ways I can kind of slice and dice this, but we'll get to that later, whatever. What basically we're looking at for the YouTube crowd, and I posted this on Twitter earlier today, is I wanted to see the top 15 average bids this season. So probably not explaining that well, but like it's not even for each week. It's just the entire year. What were the 15 highest average bids, and what has that player done since then? Just want to kind of get a feel for what are these super expensive players like. How have they fared this year? I forget. I think it was minimum of 20 leagues for the main, 50 leagues for the OC. So these are kind of widely added, but also high dollar players. How has that kind of strategy paid off this season? And we're not going to talk about every single player or that sort of thing, but just kind of looking at some higher level trends, seeing if we can see some patterns with that. So that's the board we'll talk about first, and then we'll talk about some kind of strategic positions after that. We'll look at closers, we'll look at catchers, we'll look at starting pitchers. If we have time, we'll look at outfielders. But just wanted to kind of start it there with this board. What we're looking at is the top 15 for the main, the top 15 for the online championship, the 12 teamers this season by average bid amount, and then how they look so far in terms of ranking on the Razzball Player Rater. Color coded, of course. Green is good, red is bad. Naturally. Why not?
I had a rare steak red tonight, so yes, let's get to this.
Did you?
Yep, a little skirt steak. We're good. It was tasty. All right, we'll stick to the main event side first. Couple takeaways I have right out the gate, Ryan. There's 15 teams. I think it's like seven of the guys on the list, prospects. So those always get spent up on. So I want to throw that out there right out the gate. The other thing is seven of the 15 starting pitchers. And I think that goes to the story of this season. Pitching's been so bad and so hard to find on the waiver wire that you got to get aggressive, especially it's harder to find in 15s than in 12s. And like we can, after we talk both sides, maybe trends between the two. But we're talking big boy names here and a lot of the big prospects that got the call.
The prospect thing, probably should have thought of that, but that jumps off the page too, because your prospects really are the top four in terms of highest bids this season in the main event. You've got Nick Kurtz, number one, who on April 27th went for an average of $341 in the main. Jack Caglione, $283 on June 8th. The Goose, Agustin Ramirez, $263 on April 27th, the same day as Nick Kurtz. Imagine if you spent $600 on Nick Kurtz and the Goose. You're actually
doing well.
You're broke, but like those two moves paid out very well. And then you've got Chase Burns is the fourth highest one. Again, the fourth prospect at $243. Struck out 10 tonight, but also gave up, I think, four or five runs. Went for $243 on June 29th. So that is interesting that, the top four were all prospects in the main.
Another takeaway from this is out of the 15 teams – our 15 players, five of them were from June on. The rest were April or May. So if you spent more, you either got way more out of it, which is a talking point that some say, spend early to see if you get more long-term results. At the same time, there was a Chase Dolander. And that's the only April, and the rest are all June, the high ones that did not pay off pretty much. But yeah, Dolander, that was the biggest burn on this board, like long-term burn, I think I'll say.
Right, because he's no longer on any rosters. And that's also one thing I want to mention with the Razzball player rater. Like, that is a season long ranking. So, like, of course, Chase Burns is going to be red here because he wasn't even called up until the end of June. So, like, just by sheer fact, you missed the first 3 months of the season. Like, yes, you're going to be very low on the player rater, but it's just a kind of a general kind of guideline. So that's my spiel there. The starting pitchers are interesting, though. If we just go down the starting pitcher list, it is Chase Burns, number one. Ryan Weathers, number two at 203. That turned out to be a major bust because of injury. You've got the Miz, 192. Jury's out on that. We'll maybe dive a little bit deeper into the Miz. Tony Gonsolin, back on the IL. That was number four, your starting pitcher, at average of 166 back on May 4th. Yuri Perez, that has worked out.
It's been outstanding.
In spades. And I was
off. Probably the best pitcher on the board.
It probably is. Like, we'll see what the Miz and Chase Burns end up doing over the last 2+ months. But so far, Yuri Perez is probably your leader in the clubhouse. And then Dolander, like you said, and then Cade Horton kind of sneaks in number 15, May 11th, average of 119. So maybe one to three hits. Out of those seven, which is probably par for the course, I think, with that. Like, even with, I would say, maybe, I don't know, maybe you disagree, but if you're spending triple digits on a player, like, you're still taking a shot and you're just hoping it works. And a lot of teams, you take that shot once or twice in a season, and a lot of your season kind of depends if that works or not.
Yeah, definitely. And the Weathers one looked great for like two starts, like you said, then he got hurt. You want to mention the Miz, we can talk about it. We mentioned it. We saw the tweet from the beat reporters on Tuesday, or maybe it was late Monday, after Woodruff, 5 innings, 65-ish pitches. The manager came out and said that Woodruff and Miz are going to be on a short lease, basically. And Miz comes out after 64 pitches on Tuesday. So this will make things even more interesting as the season goes on.
And that was a hard out because that was mid-inning. Jacob Mizrowski got pulled. It was 3 2/3. So, like, was not just, you know, get out of the inning and then you won't pitch again. It that was a hard out. I think he struck out seven. Yeah. Just wasn't efficient. So that seems like a pretty firm cap. I understand why the Brewers are doing it. Makes total sense to me. They've got, I think, the best record in baseball as of now. And so pretty much a shoo-in to make the postseason. You want to make sure you can get the Miz for 3-4 innings in your postseason games. You want to make sure Brandon Woodruff is healthy in the postseason. So while it's frustrating for fantasy leaguers, like, I totally get it. So yeah, Jake, the jury's still out on the Miz in terms of, like, was that successful from a fab standpoint? Because this may be a crochet from last year. That's where you
first thing came to mind.
Don't get any wins from him down the stretch. You'll get the K's, probably good ratios, definitely good ratios, I would guess, at this point, but you're not getting those wins.
Yeah, and that's the first thing I thought of was the crochet thing, and we talked about it a little bit on the last Fab show, the crochet situation, comparing it to, can't remember who else now you're comparing it to, but it really makes you think, if you just need this, if you need wins, you're hosed, like, to your point, but strikeouts, ERA, like, because 7 of his 10 outs, strikeouts. It's pretty darn good, but could be a stinger as well.
What, just real quick, and then I know we have a good amount to cover, but just the Kurtz versus Caglione. Like, to me, that just jumps out at 1-2. So for folks that can't see, but I'll just reiterate it. Nick Kurtz, number one, 341 average on April 27th. Jack Caglione, $283 average on June 8th. Razzball player rater has Nick Kurtz at 110 with a ton of missed time, both in terms of injury and just being in the minors. Jack Caglione sits at a cool, whatever, 1,140th on the player rater.
The worst on the side of the board.
I was big on Caglione. I was not in on Kurtz. I used strikeout rate to make that determination. Obviously, Caglione was up over a month later, so it wasn't a him versus an apples to apples thing, but certainly something I need to look at this offseason. What was my process in taking Caglione? And because I am burned by it for sure.
Yeah, a couple other parts, because that will be the comparison that a lot of people make the rest of the way is those two. And it's already pretty much Kurtz has almost locked that one up with 2 months to go. But what stands out to me, and it goes back to some more conversation we'll probably have in the offseason when we dig into more fab stuff, is and it goes back to one of my early points, is most of these were like April and May picks. You basically on average spent $60 more for a month, 5-6 weeks more of Nick Kurtz, who's just crushing the baseball. Now, given he wasn't crushing it out the gate, but to my point, you're getting a longer set of statistics for not like an astronomically crazy amount of money. And it goes to the, like the guilds always preaches and others, spend early and see where it goes. So that stood out to me. It's like almost the same price, like $60, but it's not that far away.
Yep. Agreed. So anything else on the main event side there? I want to talk some closers, but we'll get to positions in a little bit. So
yeah, I just want to say there's only two relief pitchers on this, which stands out a lot, but we will talk about closers later, but that everyone talks about having to spend for relievers. Only two.
And I mean, we'll say him now, Luke Jackson, $216 on March 30th. Again, that's basically the first fab period for a lot of these NFBC leagues. Everyone has the full $1,000, but $216 for what, 8 or 9 saves, Luke Jackson?
Nine saves, a 4.24 ERA.
So gave you something.
1.44 whip.
Gave you something, but not
3.4% K to walk.
Yeah,
I'll keep going.
Not great. No, you can. I think we get it. I think we get it, Bubba.
All right, let's go to the online.
Is his extension and IVB on there too? Or?
Nope, that's out of my pay grade. Let's go to the online championship side of things. And Caglione actually cost more than Kurtz by $2. So this almost stings even more than the main event side. These guys were drafted like 5 weeks apart, and you could got Kurtz for cheaper.
So that's one thing. Again, I don't really play many 12s. I'm in two of them this year with varying results. Like, why do you think Nick Kurtz? Like to me, the Caglione, it's that makes sense. Like the main was 283, Caglione was 227. Usually, their 15 teamer is going to be more expensive. Like, why do you think the main was so much higher on Nick Kurtz, 341 versus 225 in the 12 teamers? Is that just a random thing? Or like, have you seen in playing 12s over the years that you just don't see as many $300+ guys or what?
You do, but I think it's also, I guess it's more of a tepid thing because look at like a lot of these names that are on this 12 side, they're not on the 15 side of things. So you're seeing a lot of dudes get just like Kyren Paris is on this board and some other guys. So there's a lot more early, just crazy bidding, it feels like, than there, and just throughout the entire go than there is in a main. Like main, you get like one shot to go big. OCs, you can run wild like two or three times and then play from there. So I don't know. You'd think Kurtz might have gone higher, to your point. I can't wrap my head around it. I saw this and I was like, huh. That stood out to me immediately.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Thanks for the Kyren Paris mention. We like to sit here and remember guys. My God. Yep. I'm guessing Kyren Paris isn't on the main event because those mains draft at the end of
the draft. That's true. He's drafted, season, probably.
And so he was probably drafted in most of those mains by the end. But Kyren Paris, an average of $202 back on April 13th, and that, I mean, I have to see what Kyren Paris did after. Like, maybe you got one week of the Kyren Paris run, but that is like I'd rather have fab Luke Jackson than Kyren Paris.
Yeah,
they went for about the same amount of money.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Not really. I'm comparing a 12 team to a 15, but whatever.
Maybe not your point, though. I get your point to the situation. But again, to the Kyren Paris point, Nick Kurtz was added 2 weeks later. 2 weeks. No different positions, but 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That
for 20 more stings. Bucks. For 20 stings. More bucks. Yeah. Yep.
Like Chandler Simpson's on this list, average of 193. That's one where he went down. Most people did not drop him. That was not a
That's what no I was chance to ask. Like, it was an April 20th thing. Did most people in 12s hold?
I know I did. I think most of you, there were some drops. Like I said, there weren't, but most held for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Who else we got? But new names, more closers in the, and again, this is probably closers. More because the online championship drafts earlier, but like Jordan Romano, Luke Jackson, Luke Weaver was expensive. $152 on April 27th. That How many saves did Luke Weaver get? Like, that did not end up working. I know it didn't end up working out, but he got hurt, get too. Anything.
Yeah, Luke Weaver got a whopping, well, he got 8 saves. It's not bad. And a 2.78 ERA. He's actually better than Luke Jackson. So there you go. it shows in the leaderboard there on the rankings. So, yeah, Luke Weaver wasn't bad. That was right after the Devin Williams, you know, colossal what is going on here, who's, by the way, looking great again. So we're back in business with Devin Williams. But, yeah, more closers. Also in OCs is you need more saves. You're doing 15, so people are more aggressive on this situation. If a guy becomes available, you get up and go. You don't kind of – not saying you don't do that in main events, but you need them even more so in the OCs for an overall situation.
Another thing that's interesting to me is, so once you kind of get out of the extreme outliers, like the top 5 average bids between the main and between the 15 teamer and the 12 teamer, trying to use 15 team versus 12, because that's, everyone knows what that is as opposed to main and OC. But once you get down to like the middle of this group, the average spend for the 15 teamers was about the same as the 12s. Like Parker Meadows, for example, just remove names from this, but like Parker Meadows is like the number 8 or 9 highest average bid in 15 teamers at 148. It was Luke Jackson 143 in 12 teamers. So there wasn't really that there hasn't been that much of a divide between 15 teamers and 12 teamers in terms of just like that slot of what the average bid was. Like the 15, like that the 13th guy off the board in 15 teamers was $120, and in 12 teamers is $106. Like that's not that much of a gap. So maybe to your point, Bob, of like 12 teamers, it does make sense to spend earlier because, and I think we're starting to see this now in relatively lower stakes leagues like OCs. They're still $350 leagues, but they're not $1,700 leagues. I feel like you can get cheaper dollar days guys, better dollar days guys in 12s than you will be able to right now in the main event over the last couple of months. So spend early and then get those better guys at lower price in 12s.
Yeah, that's my biggest takeaway. Like when I talked to Waddell and some others, is I need to spend my freaking money early on instead of hoarding it and be more aggressive in that regard. And this sheet kind of shows that there's a lot of that early spending. See what happens. Like Zach Veen was a 113. I remember I picked up Zach Veen. I got him for like, I can't remember. It wasn't 113, but I got him for like $70 or so. And I dropped him like 2 weeks later, but that's the OC world. You take your shot, you move on. Like Austin Hayes going for 106. We know how good Austin Hayes has been, but he's just been injured so much. So that's this random. What it is.
106 for Austin Hayes. I like Austin Hayes, but
yes. What's interesting though is looking at like Yuri Perez 95, where he went for 138. It's not a giant gap, but again, when you feel like OCs, people are going to spend more. I thought Yuri would have been for a higher number there. But most of the starting pitchers didn't. Like you got the Miz, that's it, and Burns, the two prospects, but like the other guys, there's really no one else compared. There are 7 starting pitchers on the main events. Yeah. There's 4 on this side of things.
Interesting. Yep. Good point. Scott in the chat says Kyren Paris hit 1 homer after the April 13th Fab. So you did literally, you got worse than nothing. You got 2 or 3 weeks of suck. Like I'd be curious to see when was Kyren Paris starting to be dropped after, because he probably universally rostered for like 2 weeks after that. And then, man, yeah, that's tough.
Actually, Uncle Ted, I'll say this out loud, makes a good point. Yuri was overshadowed by the Miz that week. Same week of Fab.
Was that the same week?
Yes.
June 15th?
Good call on that one. So that does make a lot of sense.
Yep. Yuri Perez 138 versus Miz 192 in the 15-teamers, and then 95 for Yuri versus 141 in the 12-teamers. So that is a good point. Real quick, let's run down at least the main event side. Out of these 15, how many are you happy with? Nick Kurtz, yes.
Yes.
Caglione, no.
Nope.
The Goose, yes.
Yes.
That's 2. Chase Burns, we don't know. I'll give a half. We'll just give a half. Yeah.
2.5 now.
Okay. 2.5. Luke Jackson, no. Ryan Weathers, no. The Miz.
Yes.
I'm thinking half, but
I think you will be. I think as long as he's healthy, you'll be fine in the end. You're going to have so many strikeouts.
Okay. All right. So 3.5. I'll concede. Gonsolin, no. Parker Meadows, no. Yuri Perez, you are happy with. So that's 4.5. Caleb Durbin. I don't,
in a 15, I think you are.
In a 15, yeah, in a 15, you spend $122 on average for Caleb Durbin, but you did get someone who is probably playing every day in corner middle for your squad. So we'll count that as a win.
Real quick, the thing with Caleb Durbin, which is interesting, is maybe it's a no. He was picked up on April 20th. How many people dropped him before he started hitting again and got repicked up? So that 122 average, most of that might not have been on the roster after a while. So it actually was a loss at the time.
And that's another, I mean, making a note right now. How often, and I can I even look this up? I know I can. How long were these guys held on their teams after they were picked? Like, what was the average duration of them on your roster? I think we have a listener question on that in the Discord. It's like, as of September 1st, how many of these guys are still on rosters? But kind of similar type of thing. How long, once you added these guys, how long were they on average on your team before you dumped them?
Yep.
Interesting. So we're at 5.5. Ronnie Mauricio, I'd say you're not happy with.
No.
You spend $122. He's hitting like .219, 4 homers, 2 steals, not playing every day. Dolander, no. Will Vest,
very happy.
Ecstatic at $120 to get your closer on April 27th.
Great investment right there.
Great investment for Will Vest. So that's 6.5. Kate Horton will say no because he's just kind of a streamer. So 6.5 out of 15. I have nothing to back this up, but I feel like that's probably more or less on par with your big spend and kind of how often those hit. So we'll just say 1 out of 3 in general.
What I'll ask you then, and it could be totally the old team dependent situation. Would you be happier with your Nick Kurtz 341 or your Will Vest 120?
That's a good question. Cop out answers depends on your standings since you're totally different. But I if Nick Kurtz goes on this path, I think Michael in the chat said earlier that he's the number 3 hitter in FanGraphs over the last month. I think you got to go Nick Kurtz.
I think it's fair, yes. But what Vest has done off the waiver wire is freaking impressive.
Oh, he's been fantastic for half the price of Luke Jackson. Imagine that.
I don't get a lot of things right, but that's one I was very adamant about when it took place. Okay, let's do the next side. Lead the way again. What do we have? Probably it's a different board actually, so this could be interesting.
It is a different board. Yeah, so it's not repetitive. Cags, no. Nick Kurtz, yes.
Yes.
Paris, no. Chase Burns, we'll give a half. Chandler Simpson. Did you hold in 12s?
I think most people held. I really do. So I'm going to say give it a half.
I'm thinking half. So we'll say 2.
Give it a half.
We might get some blowback. It might be a full, but we'll say half. The Goose, yes.
Yes.
Jordan Romano.
Nope.
No. That was my big one. Romano and Caglione. I love this game.
Fab Show Thursday night, everybody.
Come check us out on every Thursday night for Bloomfield's latest genius pickups. So what are we at? 2 still? 3.
3.
Deuce. Luke Weaver, no. Luke Jackson, no. Miz will say yes. That's 4.
4.
Noel V. Marte, no.
He dropped him.
Yep. Zach Veen, no. Austin Hayes, no. Ryan Weathers, no.
Yuri Perez,
yes. So that's
only 5.
5
out of 6. Not as good.
Not as good. Interesting.
But it goes in OCs. You just go for it and you worry about the dollar days later. Like literally this past week in Fab, I still in my OCs, I could have waterfalls hitters, like streaming outfielders and stuff. I could go 10, 12 deep with a buck on each lived. So,
I would say too, like by spending $140 on a guy and it not working out in an OC is not as big of a deal as if main, cause you're just turning. So
like we keep mentioning him, but he lets us know, the guilds spent a fortune on Kyren Paris. He was all team Kyren Paris. Didn't work out. The guilds are still doing just fine.
He's having one of the best seasons of anyone in the NFBC. So,
So like it's just proof that you can survive these situations. All right, let's go positions. We got and see where we go here. We'll talk. I think it goes. Actually, I have it printed out. I can tell you while Ryan pulls it up. We'll go relief pitchers, then catchers, then starting pitchers, and see where it goes from there. But relief pitchers will be interesting considering the main events was there was like 3 or 4 of them. OCs, not so much. So what are we looking at on the relief pitcher side of things?
So yeah, so this was a nice suggestion in the Discord. I was kind of putting this together today and was like, hey, what should we talk about with this data? And a couple people said, I want to see just at least the strategic positions, not, you know, I don't know, second short versus third, whatever. Let's look at relievers, catchers, starters at the very least. Similar type of deal. However, this is only main events. So this is only main events that we're looking at. I think it's just information overload if we look at every position for 15s and 12s. Maybe I'll throw the 12 team boards on Patreon tomorrow for you folks, so you kind of get everything. But this is only main events we're going to look at, but same concept at the top 15 ads by average bid dollar amount at each position over this season. So I'll let you kind of guide the conversation, Bubba, but a lot of, as expected, a lot of ugliness, but more than a couple, I would say really good.
Yeah.
For relievers this year.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because when we did the positional recaps, I didn't feel like there is a ton of like as outlier relief pitchers. That's what these would be because they're on the waiver wire essentially. But obviously Luke Jackson, we've beaten that drum enough. But Will Vest for a 120 average was outstanding. Our boy Palencia, he's been awesome, like really yes. good. He might end up being better than Vest, honestly, if this continues. Like he's filthy. So a $97 Palencia and a 120 Vest. Like if your two closers tanked and somehow you landed both those guys, you're still probably doing just fine right about now. Now I don't advise you having to get two, but it's an affordable mix to actually work. So,
or you just drafted one closer and said, screw it, I'm going to spec on two others late in the draft. Didn't work out. I boot them and I've got Will Vest or Palencia. Could have done the same thing and tried to get Luke Jackson and Ryan Kirkering and, why the hell, Seth Halverson? Why is Seth Halverson on this list?
Because he's the Rockies closer. And this was March 30th. So it was the first fab after draft season, essentially. Yeah. So people were shooting their shot because we saw it when we were in Vegas. Guys were taking some pretty wild specs at times on their second closers. And they probably realized, okay, that's not working. Let's go get a guy that's got the job for now. And Seth Halverson, I'll say this much, ratios are always not good. Does get saves. And, I've seen him picked up and dropped a lot this season. He's a very common ad drop throughout the situations.
How many saves does this guy have?
Not
he's
a
got
ton.
Nine. Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's in the back end there. So like if you need a stream or you need to take a shot, I've seen him get added and dropped quite a bit.
All right. Let's not talk about Seth Halverson.
No, anymore. You brought him up. I wasn't going
to. I did. I just out of sheer shock. But yeah.
But see, this is where shooting your shot's not great. Is Ryan Kirkering, everyone thought when Romano went down, that's the dude to get. Hasn't panned out really. Like, he's been good, but he's not like this big-time closer we all wanted to see. Ronnie Enriquez.
We'll see.
The Marlins, man. The Marlins. Like, he got a save, but gave him two runs. Though. It's like, what's going on there? But here's one of the big ones. For $57, first fab out of spring training, Emilio Pagan. I know it was only our first position we talked about. We did the big board, so he wouldn't be on the big boards because it's $57 average. Might be the best per dollar fab pickup so far this season.
Probably, because it is, at least it's looking like a full season of a legit closer at $57. Like that's nothing. To get that for a full year, that is just an absolute, that is an absolute boon. I did you get any Emilio Pagan? I just saw his name and laughed. And that's my
pretty
fault.
Much. I thought hell no, like not a chance. I might have put small bids, but there was no winning on that one. Not a care. Plus, this was the opening thing, and we've preached it. We make sure we get two closers out the gate, so it wasn't like I was thirsty to spend my fab on a closer on the first fab period. Maybe I should rethink that process as well. But yeah. Pretty good stuff there. Porter Hodge been rough. Like trying to your boy Zach Agnes,
the stash love
there. Yes,
the Agnes. Stash,
no swing and miss. Stash. He's the opposite of Doc Holliday.
Guy's a legend, dude.
He's something. He belongs in Denver. I'll tell you that much. Robert Garcia's actually been okay for $36. I think that's actually a pretty fair one. Same with Doval at 34. Doval's a headache, but. Both of those two, Doval, I'm surprised. So, no, that would have been dropped and picked up again. If they picked him up on March 30th, I'd be shocked if people.
The Camilo Doval bid was March 30th for $34. Yeah. Bucks.
Well, maybe they held him in a main, though. They might have held him in
Ryan Walker hurt or something at the end of spring training?
No, that's why I'm surprised by that.
I can't remember. Well, yeah, I can't remember.
You ready to have for breakfast this morning?
Probably didn't eat breakfast. I don't know.
Yeah, I rarely ever do. But yeah, Robert Garcia, that's another one of the good ones. $36, and he's panning out quite well, all things considered, especially for the price point in that Texas bullpen, which has been an absolute disaster trying to figure out. But dude's got 7 saves, 2.87 ERA. He's striking dudes out at 16.1% K rate. So not bad in that regard.
Yep. And then to round us out, 3 duds, Jesus Tinoco, Ryan Pressly, Kevin Ginkle, who I think pitched the 7th inning tonight.
And this was last week's Fab, by the way. It's our first
this
July.
Was last week's Fab. This was July 13th Fab. So just kind of high level here. This could be for a number of reasons. One being we've been burned by the hell was his name, Julian Merriweather, the Merriweatheritis, where we just don't like to spend that much on closers anymore. And also, we haven't really had that, like, okay, this guy is the closer and he is readily available on Fab this week. So, like, there have only been 2 closers that on average in the main event has gone for over $100. That was Will Vest at 120 and Luke Jackson at 216. And outside of that, everyone else is really pretty much below like 75. Palencia and Halverson were 97, 96. Everyone else below $75. So we haven't, and I think it's a combination of both. The opportunity hasn't presented itself for us to bid on a closer, but I think we're also learning to kind of temper our expectations with closers and Fab and kind of shoot as many shots as we can with the budget that we have.
It's kind of interesting that the last thing I'll say on the, unless you want more on relief pitchers, there's 15 names here. There's 5 teams with at least 2 people on it. 1 team has 3 people on it. So it shows you the carousel that we play in the closing game.
Phillies and Rock, and one of them's the Rockies.
It's the Rangers, the Rockies, the Cubs have 3, the Marlins have 2. There's poise like Pressly, Hodge, and Palencia on that list. People playing on fire.
I don't remember Pressly on June 15th.
Yeah, because people thought when Hodge first got hurt, it was going to be Pressly, and then he got destroyed by the Giants with no outs, and that was all she wrote for Ryan Pressly.
How do you remember this? It's pretty good, man.
That's what I do.
I'm not judging. I'm actually just like in awe. I guess it was Giants. So
the thing I'm actually surprised about seeing Ginkle on here for $30. I'm surprised Shelby Miller didn't make this list because people were very excited about him potentially taking that over. So that one, interesting. Maybe he was already kind of stashed in places. So
I'll have to check. There's a 20 league minimum in this, and so maybe Shelby Miller was stashed a couple of times and never really got over 20 leagues at once, is my best guess.
That would make sense.
Check it out. Yeah. So, and again, even the Kevin Ginkle, even Pressly, $30. If it doesn't work out, like, live, I'm not, learn, you know, whatever. It's fine.
All right. Let's go to the best position in all of baseball. The catchers, the Goose. We've talked about him plenty. Kyle Teal, oof, not so much. Carson Kelly, though, this is interesting because very popular pickup early, crushed it. Really hasn't been that good lately. Like, I dropped that's what him a I was long gonna... time ago. Long exactly. time ago. So, curious.
That's where the date column on these boards is so important. I probably should have put that right next to the bid amount, but it was April 20th for Carson Kelly, so you probably still got some goodness. But then you also, so much of this is what I was just saying, like, it'd be interesting to see how long he was held. How long did you cut bait on Carson Kelly? Because it got really bad quickly. And so if you held Carson Kelly, especially in these 15 teamers.
Carson Kelly's on this twice, by the way. There's 2 different weeks he got picked up.
There, yeah.
April 13th 2 weeks in a row. April 20th. He hit the 20-team minimum.
Split. Both times. Yeah, 20-team in. There's 55 NFBC main events. So that's interesting. Yeah, he is on
$20 average and a $59. Because I was searching, majority of this list is young catchers, which is what we talked about in the preseason. I'm like, there's a lot of young catchers this year that could get a call. So that's what most of this board is. Like, we're talking prospects elsewhere, a lot of prospects on this board.
And pretty good hit rates too. Like Dylan Dingler at $51 on April 13th.
That's a great one.
That has absolutely helped you in 15 teamers. Drake Baldwin, a little bit to a lesser extent, just because the playing time, but his rank has been good. Carlos Narvaez, another good one, $28 average on May 25th. He's been good. I think just kind of a big takeaway here for catchers, not much money spent. I mean, yes, Agustin Ramirez. It's wild how much the Goose went for over. It was 263, and second place is Kyle Teal at 75. Like, God, you had to pay up big time for the Goose. Didn't he hit two homers the day of his fab?
He crushed it, right? Yeah, that's what spiked. Because I remember I really wanted Goose. I had to back up my actions. And I remember going back into my fab at like 6:45. And I rarely ever, like, once my bids are in, unless a guy gets hurt, don't touch him very often. Yeah. Oh, I upped my bids that week for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but the Dingler one, I'm glad you hit on that because that's one we talked about a lot. He was a DC guy because just been on Jake Rogers and Rogers left. And then even when Rogers came back, Dingler's been quite good. Drake Baldwin, he's DHing a lot. So they want to keep that bat in the lineup. That's been pretty impressive as well. Edgar Caro is like a mixed bag. It's just not been great. There's no power, but, like, he's a good real-life guy, not so much fantasy.
Yeah, but again, you spent $33 on average for Edgar Caro. Like, you probably dumped him since you picked him up on April 20th, but that's certainly not crushing your team, Jack Caggs style.
Yeah. Carlos Narvaez has been great. It's kind of slowed down a little bit, but still very good. Yeah. Then a bunch of, I don't know why people spent on David Fryer's in a platoon. That made zero sense to me at all to this day. Needed a Dalton rushing earlier. The biggest takeaway on this bottom, because you said it's a lot of hits. It's a lot of hits if you actually spent money at catcher, which was a big takeaway here. If you tried to save, which still wasn't that much money, you didn't get hits. But I will say, when we look back on this on October 1st, a move made on July 20th for $21 on average
has
the potential to be much higher up this board.
Yeah. That would be
Adrian.
One.
That's ADC for the people at home.
That would be ADC. So love to see that. $21 on average. That's not much, man. And
it's that time of the year.
Moreno had a setback, didn't he?
Yep. Something? Oh, it's ADC's world. And if they trade Josh Naylor, like, I think you're seeing a lot of ADC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very pumped for that one. So a lot of my DCs are very pumped, even though they play out of the contention. But we're pumped to get to plug them in at least. All right, anything else on catchers, or you want to head over to the starting pitchers top 30 that you got for us? Jason Wanick's point in the chat here, he says Bench Ozuna play both Braves catchers. That's what they've been doing. They even called up a third catcher so they could have a backup just in case they need a defensive replacement. So, yeah, they're all in.
All right, starting pitchers. So what we're looking at here is the top 30 starting pitchers by average bid price. And a good amount of green, and who knows on any given year that this could change, but kind of a nice pocket, like $40-$50. There's some hits here with Quinn Priester, Noah Cameron, Andrew Abbott, $45. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. We should probably talk about the highest ones first, but April 13th, $45, Andrew Abbott. Good God, that's nice.
Well, I'm just going to hit on a trend that I saw just quickly glancing at the board. And obviously a lot of these guys have been dropped as well. So even like the Joe Boyle on April 13th, that's a thing of the past. But as a whole, majority of these moves, like you're talking hits, were in April and May. So you've gotten probably something pretty good out of it if you stuck it out. Or like Logan Henderson's on the top 15, you got your good starts. You probably sadly had to drop them, but you still got something really good for your $84. I'll say that much.
Yeah, well, it lasted. I was big on Logan Henderson.
Oh, you right for the show,
man. I still think process wise, like I don't know. Maybe I stupidly thought he'd stay up, but like I think Logan Henderson's good enough to make quite a profit at that $84 average. But I digress. Only 7 pitchers over $100. On average this season. Yeah. So
pretty cheap actually. No, sorry. Go. I was like, that's surprising actually.
Yeah. It's a little bit lower than I would have thought. And really only 10 guys over $75. So it at least what we're seeing in the main event is more of kind of a spread the risk, take your 4 to 5 shots at $40 to $50 players, as opposed to one or two at kind of the cream of the crop. So of that group above $100, it's Chase Burns, 243. We've talked about Ryan Weathers, 203. The Miz, 192. Tony Gonsolin, 166. Yuri Perez, we've talked about. Dollander and Cade Horton. I guess I'll just mention the next group. Ben Kasparius, just because they weren't on the overall top 15 we talked about earlier. Ben Kasparius, $97 on average on May 4th, thinking he would be stretched out in the LA rotation. That hasn't worked. Here's my guy, David Festa, as Bubba shakes his head profusely. Another one of my pickups.
Your guys.
It's like,
and Ryan's having a good fantasy season too. That's the best part.
Amazingly.
Yes.
Amazingly. My biggest takeaway this entire episode is how much I've sucked at fab.
He's hitting on the cheap fab guys is what it comes down to.
That's what we'll go with. That's what we'll go with.
Spin zones.
David Festa, $85 on April 13th. Logan Henderson, $84 on 420. And Ben Brown on March 30th for $78. So that's it. I mean, that's your 10 pitchers over $75 in the main event on average this season. It's the smallest.
Very small list. And I think I'm looking forward to seeing the OC board because more more risk taken there. Cause it makes sense when you look at all these $40 to $60 guys. So it's like, you know, Hoglin, there's high hills for like Kershaw. Makes sense. Edward Cabrera makes a ton of sense. And obviously he's pitching great, but makes sense to go at $60. Like Ryan Gusto, he had the good K rates we talked about and all that kind of stuff. $58. Okay, Quinn Priester, $50. See what you can get. Schlittler was late, like Noah Cameron for $40. Sagano, like these guys are like Abbott. Like turns out to be a great pickup at $45 on April 13th. But I think we could all sit back and go. There's a reason. That. There was a reason he was $45. Like right. No one. Like this was probably a week stream. That I'd love to go look at the schedule. They probably weren't in Cincinnati. It was the team's horrible versus lefties. That's where I'm at on that. And it just turned out to work. So, yeah.
Ben Brown's on here twice, March 30th and June 1st. So,
dude, I heard he was a popular target this past week, too.
Yeah, so. He'll probably be on here again. I'd love to see someone be on here three times among the top 30 for starting pitcher. Remember Easton Lucas?
Yeah, right here. Michael Cicchetti says, oh, yes, the Easton Lucas disaster. Yeah. He had like two really good starts. Everyone buys in, and then boom.
Wow. April 13th, Easton Lucas on average $43. Safe to say that one did not work out. But again, like, I guess you did start Easton Lucas for those disasters. But I think, yeah, if you, at least so far this season, if you kind of said, I'm going to spend, between $40-$60 and take a few shots at starting pitcher, you probably ended up with one of like a Priester, Cameron, Abbott, Ciccone, etc., and you might be pretty happy with that.
Gusto's on here twice, and it's 2 weeks apart. At least Ben Brown was like
two months apart.
2 weeks apart.
Like, yeah, the 2 weeks in a row makes sense just because it's like half the contest.
A week off between them.
Oh, never mind.
That's what I'm saying.
It's two weeks you're apart. Right. Okay, 2 weeks apart. Yeah. Yeah, not great. I'm sure.
44
not in the main this Andrew year, Heaney. But
that was good.
Been one. Andrew Heaney, well, that was April 6th. Like, that was when he worked out early.
He did
work out. The question is, how quickly did you move on when he morphed back into home run Heaney?
Yeah. So now this is a very intriguing board just because it's a lot of boring names, but make a ton of sense for their floor. And to your point at the beginning, a majority have actually worked out for not spending a ton of cash. Like, if you got the Priesters, the Camerons, the Abbots, like that's really good. Ciccone for a while has been very good as well. Like there's some legs to some of these picks, and they're still like, even Kershaw, as much as crap as I give him, has been decent. Oh, yeah. Cabrera's been awesome.
Yep.
Cabrera's been awesome. So yeah, interesting stuff.
And I will, I think I'll compare this to the 12 team. I'll post it to Patreon tomorrow and just kind of see how that jives.
Yep, most definitely. Any final thoughts on the fab before I try to navigate the questions we have tonight?
You put
in a different tab, by the way. You put them in a different tab tonight, so this will be good.
What'd I do? Oh, I put it in the suggestion box.
Yes.
Hey, man, just trying to keep you on your toes. In terms of just final thoughts with this, I hinted at this earlier. There's so much more I can do with this stuff. I want to look at it. This is more of an off-season type thing, but like, how did the top 20 in the main event or the OCs, like, what were their tendencies? We haven't even talked about the low dollar fab bids that worked out, right? Those are all my guys, of course, like we said. But I'd like to do some sort of analysis. Is there some pattern among the less than $10 guys that worked out? At what does even worked out mean? Like, if you picked up a guy for $6 and he had a good week the following week, you take it. So there's just a lot of kind of untapped. I know there's been a lot of work. Like, I know Waxman does this show and has good data on this stuff. Rob McCabe, a Patreon supporter, he did a lot of really cool stuff with fab trends and kind of using data and graphs and everything to show it a couple years ago. A lot of really cool stuff. You can dig into some of the stuff. So I look forward to doing that. And anyone listening, if you've got questions, you're listening to the show or whatever, questions, suggestions you might want me to look into, it'll be more of an off-season type of thing. But it's the kind of stuff I want to kind of focus on this off-season.
Yep, off-season might turn into other stuff. So yes, give us your ideas and see where it pans out going forward there. Let's get into some of these questions here. Some we're not going to answer, but I'm not going to ignore the people either. Adam W. says it's excellent. Maybe best and worst fab buys by calendar month. That's something we could look into later. We didn't do the calendar months, but good to your point, that works. Preferred fab strategies. We kind of talked about that throughout the season. Then go early on guys and save money for later in the year, that kind of deal. We've talked about that. We kind of hinted on maybe spend early and just get dollar days later on as well. Mark Jordan says, like, how many dollar bids are the top dogs winning? So to your point, at the end of the season,
that's the kind of thing I'd really like to look at. And what was the thought process behind those? Maybe not dollar, but like single digit type guys.
JM 10,000 said, I'd be curious how many closer bids and rookie bids have been bust. We hit on most of those throughout this show, especially like the high price guys for rookies pretty much. And then we did a whole closers chart. So definitely could see that.
It would be cool to do like a top 15, top 30, just rookies, and see what the average bid was and how many of those guys worked out. I like that idea, actually.
Yeah, Timothy did the position things, which we hit on for sure, with catchers and closers and that type of deal. Michael Cicchini in the chat says, should there be a special Rockies approach given the randomness of their decisions, i.e. the Veen rule? That is a very fair question.
A lot of Rockies on these lists. Just tough all around. None of them worked out, of course, but
his serious question, he said, though, is, are there patterns to what we know in retrospect were clear over bids? I don't know if it's
I don't yeah I don't it that's let's see so like I'm just I mean, we have the pitch starting pitcher board up here right now, and I'm looking at like the top six. So you've got your kind of prospects that are healthy that got called up right away. Chase Dolander, Cade Horton, Miz, and Chase Burns. Like, is there a pattern there? Like, why did Dolander and Horton fail while Miz and Burns, they were more expensive, but why, and they succeeded? You've got the injury rehabbers. You've got Weathers, Gonsolin, and Yuri Perez. Is there a pattern there? Like, if you spent big on, took an injury risk on Yuri Perez, jury's still out, but like, that's working out. If you took an injury risk on Weathers or Gonsolin earlier in the season, that hasn't worked out. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason, or if it's just, I don't want to say luck, but maybe there is a lot of luck to this in terms of just picking the right injury guy that's coming back. I don't know.
Yeah. Tough to decipher just yet, because it seems like just goods and bads, to your point.
Yeah.
Mailman Mike, we'll have to talk about that. A couple of guys I wish we were more aggressive on. A couple of guys you both come up short on. That's a deep thing. I obviously would love more Nick Kurtz. It's pretty obvious. I love Pagan. None of that.
And less tags.
Yeah, there's that too. There's a report card thing.
I think we've gone over my report card. It's questionable.
D Sawa says, might be too late, but I'd be curious to hear how this exercise influences your fab bidding in the future. Kind of philosophical item. I said it a couple weeks back when I got done talking to Brandon Waddell. I need to spend more early, flat out, like take my shots, because it's like I said earlier, a lot of those people were April, May pickups.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we touched on this earlier, but I think that definitely plays more into the kind of the 12-teamer type mentality that I know I don't have. So that's a lesson learned. for me. I think, and also to DeSalva's question too, I think I'd want to look at the last 2 or 3 years of Fab. I don't even know if I can get the data from last year or 2 years ago, just to see if there's any trends like over multiple seasons. You don't want to overreact to just 1 year of data. So I'm hesitant to like change strategy based on how things went for one season. And that's not even just Fab. That's everything. Positions.
We talk about during prep. It's like they change baseballs. Yep. They change this. So going year to year is difficult to get a straight takeaway from.
Yep.
Andy Splinter says, which position had the most Fab resources spent on it? Money spent and number of pickups. I don't think we have that just yet.
So. Did not have time to put that together, but it's a good question, Andy. I can whip that together pretty quick. Maybe I'll put that in the Patreon post as well.
And that'll do
it. In fact, I will.
That is all the questions. I will do that. So. Good. Looking forward to it. It's at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, everybody, if you're curious where to check out this stuff. Final thoughts before we head out. We'll be back Thursday night for a Week 19 Fab preview.
I will see you on Thursday. Just my final thought. Any other stuff, questions, suggestions you have for this type of research? We will probably do another whole show on this at the end of the year in terms of how did Fab go, just in general, and throw some other wrinkles in here. But I don't know, pretty exciting stuff that I think at least is interesting and a little bit of a change of pace for us in terms of just a straight Bloom board and player analysis, a little bit more of like a game theory strategy type thing. So hope you all enjoyed it this evening.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a nice change of pace. Like I said, we'll do Fab on Thursday, do a little live Bloom boards coming up after that. So we'll keep you guys rolling as football season gets closer for everybody. So enjoy baseball with us. Check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intric. This is Bubba in the Bloom, episode 262. Catch you all next time.